This hour, we're going to be talking about a model of grief from John chapters 13 to 17. I'm Kevin Carson. I have the privilege of serving Christ as pastor of Sunrise in Ozark, Missouri, as well as the department chair of biblical counseling at the Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary in Springfield, Missouri. And I do get to teach in the master's program here at Faith as well. Thank you for spending this time with me as we think about a model of grief. As we get started, I want to have a word of prayer with us because I recognize that this has been a rough time. This has been certainly a time for our nation and the world where grief has been up front. Grief has been certainly all over our churches, in our own personal lives, and there has been much lost. And so with that in mind, let's have a word of prayer even as we get started thinking through this particular topic. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the time now that we can spend together. I pray that this time together will bless my brothers and sisters in Christ who are in this particular track, as well as that you would help give us a new tool, a new way to think as it relates to the book of John and how we serve those and how we help prepare people for times of grief. Thank you again for the time we can spend. May it be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In the past year, I have had some significant loss, even in my own life. And so with all that in mind, it had me thinking about various key passages as it relates to grief. One of the thoughts that I had is how many times do people get to know that today would be their last day on earth? There's not many of us who ever get to know that. In fact, if you're a healthy person, more than likely you do not know when the last day is going to be. It comes as a surprise. I had a friend months ago now, a dear sweet friend was on her way to church in her vehicle. She had had a full day of serving God and serving others, serving her family. And as she drove to church, the police were chasing a big truck and the truck ran right broadside into her. And in the moment, she immediately went out into eternity. It left a major hole. It left a lot of us grieving after the loss of our sweet, dear friend. She didn't know it was going to be her last day. And that's probably typical to most people who are healthy. To those who are sick, though, most of them don't know it's their last day as well. I've had a few people that are close to me die of various related issues in the recent days, and none of them knew that that would be the very last day. Some knew that they were getting pretty sick, but didn't know that was it. I just had in the last recent days a dear friend of mine who found out on Monday morning, the doctor said, there's no additional hope. There's nothing else we can do. And this person, because of their particular illness on that particular day, did not feel bad, didn't even feel sick. And we spent the entire day together as that friend, a good buddy of mine, as he thought through various passages and truth, and as we talked about so many things there with his wife and daughter. And as we spent that day together, it was a delightful day talking about truth. And he said a lot of things that day that were important, a lot of things that were impactful, a lot of things that were meant specifically for those of us who were his friend and those of us, or his wife and daughter were there as well. And so as we spent that day together, again, this thought came to mind. There's not many people who know when they're at the end of life and they're healthy enough to be able to talk and communicate and discuss everything that he or she might want to say. There's not many people like that. And it was a very sweet time. And that was a Monday. And by Thursday night into the evening, my friend left this world and went to heaven. How many people know? Well, I will say this. One person knew. Jesus knew when it was going to be his last day. Jesus was in total command of when it was going to be his last day. And that's why I'm suggesting that this text, John chapters 13 to 17, really give us great insight as we think about how to serve people who are going through grief and how to help people think in terms of post-grief. So lots of things to think about. Death is the door to eternity. In an instant, we leave one world and into the next through that door. I know Dr. Bob, one of the times, the first time I ever had a thought about this, Dr. Bob Smith was talking to me and we were having a conversation and he told me a story and he was describing this story. And as he described it, I was crying. And he said, "Kevin, why are you crying?" Because death is the taxi system. Death is the delivery system. And the moment I die, it's going to deliver me all the way to heaven. And I remember just trying to think through that and reason through it and the impact that it had on me in that particular moment. The reality is, grief is a part of suffering. We experience all suffering at some level as death. We understand it inherently in our heart that life moves toward death because of sin in Genesis 3. And in that moment, they spiritually died. Everything in life and every part of suffering takes some of its reality from that sense of death that was demanded as a result of the sin in Genesis chapter 3. Death and suffering, they go together. And the reality is this: all people suffer. All people grieve. The question we think, even as we think about this particular time together, is how does the world grieve? And then the next question would be, how should the Christian grieve? I think those two things are important because listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4. He said, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." He doesn't want us to sorrow like an unbeliever. He wants us to face death and have a different spirit, have a different sense, because we have the hope of Jesus Christ. There are certain things that bring suffering. Death is one. There are many that we could talk about. We live between the realities of John 16:33 and Revelation 21:4. In John 16:33, it says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's in our larger text that we're going to be talking about this hour. But in Revelation 21:4, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And we live somewhere in between that time. And suffering is broad. Certainly, we can think of divorce and death and layoffs and sickness. Everything from disappointment all the way to devastation and death brings with it its own sense of suffering. And so we as believers try to wrestle through how we respond best to it. Let me suggest that Jesus provides us with a model of how to understand and respond to grief differently than the world. In this conversation, that is John 13-17, Jesus gives us a way that we can sorrow with hope. So let's start with this question. How does the world grieve? Typically, the world thinks about grieving through the 5 stages of grief. Those were proposed by Elizabeth Kubler Ross now years and years ago in 1969. And those stages are familiar to almost every person. It's just part of the world. People talk about it. Even when something happens, they say, "Well, wonder what stage this particular person is in." We know these 5 stages, and they're not necessarily steps. We're aware of that. There is a sense of progress, but at any one point, when we look at the world and in her research and the research since her particular first research, in that we see people go in and out of these various stages. You see them here: denial and anger, bargaining, depression, and then ultimately acceptance. And when you say, what does her research actually tell us? Well, at the end of the day, her research tells us how unbelievers suffer. So when you say, we sorrow not as unbelievers, we go to this particular model and we say, so how does an unbeliever suffer? And she, and this is one system, there's more than one, but she is the primary way people think about suffering and grief and think through